Well, welcome to the next session in the Awakening Course. Now, at this point, you might even be a little confused, and that's actually okay. I have a friend, Mandy Evans. She wrote a book called Emotional Options and a second book called Traveling Free, a delightful soul. And she once said, confusion is that wonderful state of mind right before clarity. And I've always loved that because I've been confused many times in my life, but I've always noticed that it pops and the clouds clear, the sun comes out, and suddenly I have a new awareness. And again, that's what we're talking about here. So if you're confused right now, it's perfectly fine and you're right on schedule. In fact, you may get confused a couple other times throughout this program. So again, stay with me, enjoy the process. Now, we're going to be talking about the very first stage of awakening. And in many ways, the very first stage isn't about awakening at all. Because when you're born, you have a mindset of a victim. Now, you don't have that as a label on your forehead. You probably don't think that at all. But the way that we're programmed from birth on is to give in to outer authority. It begins shortly after birth when our parents start showing us how the world works. Now, if you understand that we are in a belief-generated world, that your beliefs create your reality, you understand that your parents have beliefs that are creating their reality. Those parents are downloading their beliefs directly into your experience. When you're born, you're unconscious. You are not a blank slate, but you are close to a blank slate, and you are absorbing what they're saying, you are watching what they're doing, and you're making conclusions. You're drawing decisions from everything that they're doing. For example, if they thought money was hard to achieve, if they thought money was bad, if they thought that they had health problems throughout their career and their life, very likely you took those on as well. So there's a whole lot of programming, if you will, that comes from your parents. But it doesn't stop there. Your parents send you to school, and in school you're taught how the world works. Now, the school system doesn't necessarily teach how to awaken. It teaches how to survive. And from a survival standpoint, it does a fair job, not an immaculate job by any way, shape, or form. But it's also programming you about lack and limitation. It's programming you that there isn't an abundance in the world. There's actually scarcity in the world. And again, you're not thinking about any of this. Your religion does the same thing. Your parents had some sort of belief system that was about the universe itself, about God, about the divine. You absorb that, most likely without questioning it. I'm not saying this is good, bad, or indifferent. I'm saying that for the longest time, you are trained to be at the will of somebody else, whether it's your government, which also does some programming, whether it's the media, which is also doing a lot of programming, what you're watching on television, what you're watching in the news, what you're watching these days on the internet, is programming you on a different level. So all of this, whether it's coming from your parents, from the school, from the government, from the religion, from the media, is programming you to be under the thumb of somebody else. This first stage is all about being a victim. Most people, sadly, will go to their death feeling like they're a victim. Now, they will work within that victim mentality to try to make a difference in their life. For example, I had mentioned on the earlier session that I was homeless at one point. I wanted to get work. Well, I did the standard things that a victim mentality would do. I applied for jobs. When I had a job, I did the standard things a victim mentality would do. I would try to get a different job. I also did things like write resumes for other people. And I saw that the people who came in, even if they were top-level CEOs and executives, had this mentality that they were a victim too, that they looked for a job that was paying about the same that they were already receiving. Maybe they wanted a little bit more money. Maybe they wanted a little bit more benefit. Maybe they wanted to work in a different environment, doing something different. But they were giving their power to somebody else. And they also had this sense that they didn't deserve more than what they were already getting. All of this is coming from this victim mindset. And this is the first stage that you need to awaken from. Now, you may not already know that you're in it. Maybe you already do. I had to go through a long period. I remember growing up, I blamed God. I blamed my parents. I blamed the school system. I blamed everybody for what I was going through, and I was very unhappy. And I blamed them because I didn't want to take responsibility, and I didn't know to take responsibility. That was not a concept in my mind. I was coming from being a victim without knowing I was a victim. When I mentioned earlier that I admired authors like Jack London and Ernest Hemingway, it's because they were fighting the system. They were fighting nature. They were fighting the elements. And according to their fictional writings, they were winning. And I found that what I was doing was trying to do that and feeling like I was losing. I was feeling like I wasn't getting ahead in the world. And this made me unhappy. This made me very much in the mindset of struggle. I was doing that efforting we were talking about earlier. All of this is because I was a victim and I didn't know it. Henry David Thoreau had said that the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. Well, I was quietly and sometimes noisily desperate myself. If you look around, you've probably heard yourself complain about the system, about the government, about the president, about the terrorists, about anything else that's going on in the world. It could be your neighbors. It could be your family. It could be your relatives. Again, doesn't it sound like you're being a victim? So what we're talking about in this first stage is awakening to the thought that you have been thinking like a victim. As soon as you awaken to that thought, you can begin to work within it, meaning that you're still feeling like a victim, but you've awakened to the idea that since I've been a victim, maybe if I do a few things differently, I can transcend this first stage. Most people, again, are born into this and never awakened from it. So they can't go to stage two. They can't go to stage three. They can't go to stage four because they haven't awakened to being a victim in stage one. So again, if you're confused about this, don't worry about it. It'll become clear as we keep moving forward. I also want you not to dismiss anything. I want you to digest everything. The idea that what I'm saying here might be foreign to you is because nobody else has spoken to you this directly, maybe from my heart to your heart in this particular manner, about this material. So again, digest this. Don't dismiss this. Stay with me on this track. Let's keep going together and finding out how the world really works. To help you understand the victim mentality and how to break from it, to actually become aware of it, to begin to leave into the next stage, let me talk about the seven key points. These seven key principles can help you awaken to the first stage and begin to go into the second stage of awakening. So there are seven key points that I want to go through with you right now. And if you're a little confused as you hear them, smile and realize that as we go along our way, it'll all become clear. You are totally responsible for your experiences in your life. Now, you aren't to blame for them. It's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. The second is, you are absorbing beliefs from the culture itself. It's unconscious. And this goes back to what I said earlier, that when you're born, you start receiving, downloading information and beliefs about how to live and about how the world works. You're not thinking about this. This is all unconscious. The third principle is, you are not ruler of the earth. You're not God. But you have more power than you ever realized. And again, that might feel maybe inspiring or maybe intimidating, depending on how you look at it, while you're still in the victim mentality first stage. But just sit with this for a little bit and see how it feels. The fourth is, you can change your thoughts, but you need to become aware of them to do so. Now, this is pretty interesting because a lot of people aren't aware that they're having thoughts. They are their thoughts. In the first stage of being a victim, the thinking is going on, but the thinking is you. You are identified with it. You're not separate from it. Now, again, stay with me with this. Right now, you're thinking about this program. But if you pause for a moment, you might realize that you are watching yourself think about this program. There is thinking, and then there's the awareness of thinking. So you are thinking about this program, but if you don't detach just one little element away from it, you'll feel like you are the thinking. In order to change your thoughts, you must become aware that you are separate from your thoughts. This is a very profound and very powerful, very important first step to understanding how to leave the victim mentality and start to go to stage two. The next step is you can do the impossible. You don't know your limits. Now, I love this one, too, because a lot of people will say, oh, there's certainly things that are impossible. There's certainly limits. Well, when you're in the victim mentality, you feel like that's the case. But if you start looking at old history and you start looking at old science and you start looking at the different science breakthroughs that are going on right now, you start to realize that there really aren't any limits. and there really isn't anything that's impossible. When we talk about what's possible today, it's based on what we understand science and physics to tell us what's possible and what's impossible. But science and physics keeps changing as we learn more about ourselves. So just for the moment, entertain the idea that you can do the impossible, that you don't know your limits. And that is a very true case because you don't know your limits. You have not tried everything. You may not have tried much of anything. But when you do, you'll find out what your limits are. And as you change your beliefs, you'll find that there weren't any limits. There were only mental constraints. So the sixth one is whatever image you add emotion to will tend to manifest. And this is something that's powerful. If you've ever noticed in your life that what you truly love or what you truly hate seems to show up all around you, it's because you've had an image and you've added intense feeling to it. And again, I'll explain this a little bit later as we go through these various sessions. But for now, I just want to entertain the idea and introduce the idea that what you visualize in your mind with feeling, intense feeling, especially if it's love or hate, will tend to be attracted into your awareness, into your life experience. And then finally, number seven, you can have miracles when you let go of attachment and need. Now, this is very profound, and I'm going to say something that'll be very shocking at first, but this is the honest-to-God truth. You can have whatever you want as long as you don't need it. Now, again, this will make more sense later, but it's the idea that when you are attached to something, when you are addicted to something, when you need something to happen, you actually send off an energy that repels it. It doesn't come into your life experience. When you are more playful about what you would like to have, you send off this energy of love, an energy of detachment, an energy of just simple wanting. And the chances are that will rapidly come into your life because you're simply playful about it. Okay, as you heard those seven principles that are going to help you leave the first stage of awakening and begin to go into the second stage, maybe you had some thoughts about them. Maybe you had some beliefs about them. Maybe you didn't understand them. How did you feel? And what I'm getting at is that the experience of victimhood can be a little sneaky. It can be going on below your awareness, and you have to pay attention to what you're saying to yourself. You could be saying, oh, that Dr. Joe Vitale doesn't make any sense at all. It's very similar to if you had a car accident, who would you blame? Who did you blame? If you read the newspapers and you saw that there was something going on, whether it was an oil crisis, whether it was a terrorist alert, who did you blame? Did you look within yourself or did you start to say something like it was the president's fault or it was the government's fault or it was a political party's fault? Well, if you had a problem at work, who did you blame? Did you say it was because of the boss? Did you say it was because of a particular supervisor? Did you say it was because of the weather? Usually, people who are coming from a victimhood mentality are blaming everybody else. They are pointing their fingers all around them. So the first thing I want you to be aware of is that we all do it. I do it. You are probably doing it right now. You probably have been doing it. You probably did it sometime today or yesterday. All I'm asking you to do right now is to be aware of it. That's the whole point of this program. That's why it's called the Awakening Course. As you become aware, you can become awake. As I went through those seven principles, maybe you were wrestling with them, maybe you weren't, but you were probably thinking about them. So I want you to look at the idea of you are not your thoughts. Now, if this is something you've been doing for a long time, just stay with me because we're going to go to the advanced stuff pretty soon. So you've been listening to me go through these seven principles, and you were thinking about them. Did you realize you were thinking about them? Let me ask it differently. Right now, as I'm asking this question, thoughts are going through your mind. Are you shaking your head wondering what I'm talking about? Or are you taking a deep breath and realizing thoughts are going through my mind, but I'm not my thoughts? They're just kind of going through like clouds through the sky. Thoughts are on the canvas of awareness. You are not that thought. You are not the next thought. You can watch those thoughts. You can be detached from those thoughts. And as you are, there's a sense of freedom. There's a beginning of an opening to a new state of awareness. So just watch your thoughts and, in fact, take a moment and breathe through those because this is a very powerful turning point in your life. It's easy to say that you're a victim. It's easy to point fingers at other people. it's easy to dismiss the seven principles I've just introduced. What I'm asking you to do is, again, trust me. I've been through this. I've gone through all four stages of awakening, and I'm helping you through this first one. When I told you that I was homeless at one point and I couldn't go back to Dallas, it's because I had that victimhood mentality for the longest time, and it was brought up over and over again whenever I went back to Dallas. So what I'm suggesting is, even if you've done work on yourself from other books or audio programs of one sort or another, that you actually might still have a little bit of victim mentality still in you in some areas. Maybe you're doing fine with your romance, but maybe you're not doing so fine with your health. Well, who are you blaming for that? If you're not doing so fine with your finances, who are you blaming for that? I had to go back to Dallas two or three times, and I actually had to see a miracles coach to help me relieve the beliefs that were still active within me. Now, as we go through this program, I'm going to give you exercises and meditations and techniques to help you relieve those beliefs too, so that you can be free, so that you're no longer a victim, so that every area of your life is a joyous one. That's the promise of the Awakening Course, and that's the promise of beginning by entertaining these seven principles and by paying attention to your thoughts. Now, please understand the difference here, because you might have had something happen in your life and you were a victim of that. I'm not talking about an experience that happened that's in the past, it's over with. You may have some healing to do from it. I'm talking about a victim mentality. I'm talking about a thought pattern that might attract some of these things happening to you, or a thought pattern that might actually keep you in a circumstance that you don't want to be in anymore, but you're actually there because you feel like a victim. So yes, people have had car attacks, they have had health problems, they have had crime of one sort or another. People have experienced a victim experience. That's not what I'm referring to here. It may be part of it, especially if it's reoccurring in your life. But I'm talking about the mindset that is always saying you are not going to win. Within that mindset, you might make some effort. You might go and get a goal-setting book. You might go and go to a therapist. You might go and fill out order forms to get a new job or answer ads and so forth or write a new resume. But you're still working within the framework of this first stage of awakening. You're still coming from a victim mentality, and what you want to do is realize that the past does not equal the future. What happened does not mean it has to reoccur, and that what you want to have in your life can come into your life once you clean up your thinking about what's going on in your life. So again, taking a deep breath, paying attention to your beliefs, paying attention to your thinking, and starting to be aware that, oh, maybe, just maybe, I have blamed the world for everything that's going on, and maybe, just maybe, I have more power than I ever thought before. Again, as you reflect on the seven principles that we will list in the workbook for you, you can go back and reread those and start to take them in, you'll probably begin to feel a new sense of power. And as you feel this new sense of power, that'll take you from being a victim into the second stage, which I'm just excited about taking you to. Because I know when I was in the victim mentality and I stayed in it for the longest time, that it's not a very pleasant place to be. You don't even know how wonderful life can be because you feel like you are under a dark cloud all the time. So as you pay attention to your thoughts and start to entertain the idea that you can have more than you ever imagined before, and you start to leave the blaming mentality and you start to take on the responsibility mentality, you start to awaken in this first stage. Now, keep in mind that when something happens to you and you're coming from the victim mentality, you still have choice. Now, some people who have the victim mentality don't know that they have choice, but some do, and they make a different choice. So in other words, two people can come from the same family, can have very similar experiences, they can be abused, but one will go on and carry that abuse and that judgment and that pain and that trauma forever. But the other one might turn it into something good. The other one might become a healer who writes books about people who have gone through similar abuse, and he uses the experience, or she does, to transform others. So you have a choice. When something happens to you, you can look at it as profoundly negative, or you can look at it as a wonderful opportunity. And that's going for just about everything that happens. So even within the victim mentality mindset, you have a choice about how you're going to act and what it means to you. Now, Mandy Evans is somebody I mentioned earlier. She wrote Emotional Options. In her book, Traveling Free, she addresses the idea of being a victim. And she has people go back to the past and look at whatever happened to them. And she points out that it's not what happened to you that matters. It's what you determined it meant. Now, this is very important because if you looked at it as a very horrible experience that can be unforgiven and so forth, you're going to carry that for a very long time and you're going to be very unhappy and probably even attract similar experiences. And certainly those memories will be there and they're not very pleasant. But she said if you can look at that same memory, that same experience, and change the meaning of it, perhaps you can find some sort of good in it. There's an author by the name of Kurt Wright, and in my book, The Attractor Factor, I quote him. And I'll paraphrase him. He says that you can think back to something that happened to you maybe a year ago. And when it happened, it seemed very negative and you felt like a victim at that point. And he says now, a year later, when you look at it, you have this sense of detachment and maybe you saw what it was good for. Maybe you saw the humor in it. Maybe you tell the story of what happened to you a year ago, but you have everybody laughing when you tell the story. And he says if that sense of humor and if that detachment was available 1 year later, maybe it was available when it happened. Now, this is profound. If you pause and think about this, it means that no matter what occurred to you in your life, on whatever victim level it might have been, you can look at it and say there was some sort of positive benefit in it. When I told you the story about me being homeless and struggling in poverty for a very long time, I pointed out that it actually helped me grow. It actually helped me have a story that is inspiring people, possibly even inspiring you. So for that reason alone, it was actually something good. Now, I'm not saying to blanketly go back and just say that everything that happened to you was good, because I do know that sometimes things have happened and they have a sting to them, and the sting is still there. So it's okay. I understand I'm sending you love right now as I'm talking to you and you're listening to me. And as we go through this, you will awaken from it and go to a whole new level. I want to remind you of what Einstein said. The significant problems we have cannot be solved at the same level of thinking with which we created them. So again, this is all about transcending thinking. This is all about becoming aware of our thinking so that we can go through these four stages of awakening. And again, the very first one, when you are a victim and you don't even know it, you have to awaken from it. And one of the first ways to do it is become aware of your thinking. What are you thinking right now? Who are you blaming right now? And realizing that you are actually detached from your thoughts. So let me go on and tell you something fascinating. One of my favorite books in the world is called A Complaint-Free World by Will Bowen. I have since met him, interviewed him, and I'm now on the board of his directors to actually start a movement to end complaining on the planet. Now, this sounds on one level preposterous. We all complain, especially victims. Victims are always complaining about everybody else. Well, Will Bowen has issued this challenge, and this is a useful technique to use within this first stage. You can carry it into the second stage for sure, and it's a useful technique no matter where you are in your thinking process, your growth process, your awareness process, wherever you are in the stages of life. And he issued this challenge to not complain for 30 days straight. And the whole point of this is to become aware. Now, I love it because I believe in the power of intention, and I'll be telling you that in a future session coming up. And he says that just before you're going to complain, stop. You hear it in your thoughts. You're hearing that you're just about to complain about the guy who pulled out in front of you or your boss or your significant other. Something went on. The bills came. You complained about something. You were about to complain about something, and you pause. And you pause, and you turn it into what you want. So instead of stating your complaint, you state your intention. Now, this is going to be news for you for the first time if you've never done this before, if you haven't read my book like The Attractor Factor or seen the movie The Secret. And I will elaborate on this whole subject later. What I want you to realize is to become aware of your thinking. This is very important in this first stage when you're beginning to feel like you're a victim, but you're waking up to the reality that maybe you can actually leave this. Maybe you can have more control within this. And one way to start to feel that power is to pay attention to what you're about to speak. Not to what you're speaking, to what you're about to speak. So you have a thought that just formed in your head. You're about to vocalize a complaint, but you hold your tongue. You pause and you think, what would I rather have? Instead of stating the complaint that the bill just arrived and I don't have enough money for it, you would state the intention that I want to have more than enough money to pay this bill and all other bills. Now, again, this might feel uncomfortable. It's the first time that you're doing this kind of thinking and this kind of intention setting. And if you've been in the victimhood mentality for quite some time, it will feel like you're trying on a new suit that maybe doesn't quite fit you yet. But this is like learning anything else. As you practice it, it'll become easier. And it's very important in this first stage to pay attention to your thinking. Now, I want to give you another tip. When you're thinking, you can learn to play with language, even while you're in this victim mentality, this victim first stage. For example, I have a list of different ones. We'll also put this in the workbook. When most people say they have a problem, you can begin to start calling problems opportunities. This is a shift in mindset. When you say the phrase, I have to do something, I have to work out, I have to go to work, I have to go and do such and such, you can change that, playing with language, to get to. I get to work out. I get to go to work. I get to go on this particular date. I get to do whatever it is you were about to say, I have to do. Have to has more of a complaint ring to it. It has more of a negative ring to it. It has more of a victim ring to it. By changing your language, you are actually taking control of your own reality. Instead of saying there was a setback, you say there was a challenge. Instead of saying you have an enemy, you begin to say, I actually have a friend. Instead of saying there was a tormentor in your life, you say there was a teacher in my life. Instead of saying you have pain, you call the pain a signal. Because the truth is, when you have a pain, it's trying to tell you something. If you pay attention to the pain, you can learn something. Most people who are a victim, when they have a pain, just want to put out the fire. They want to put out the pain. But if you find out what originated that pain, you can actually remove it forever. So pain can become a signal. Instead of saying, I demand, you can say, I would appreciate. Much kinder, much more loving. Instead of saying you have a complaint, you can say, I have a request. Instead of saying that you are struggling, you can say, I'm on a journey. Instead of saying, you did this, again sounding like a victim, you can say, I created this. These are all ways to work within this first stage of awakening. You're working with language, you're working with thoughts, you're working with your mind. But this is where it all begins. You have been a victim, myself included. There's nothing negative about it. You're not to blame. You're waking up. You're taking responsibility and you're going forward. You should actually pat yourself on the back because you're doing so great and reward yourself for what you are doing and how you are investing in your own life. So this is all about encouraging you to go for your dreams. I am a guy who looks for ways to encourage myself and others, but it wasn't always that way. When I was growing up, as I said earlier, I was mad at everybody. And as I learned that people who believed in me, people who encouraged me, pulled out of me something great, something that was deep within me that just needed dusted off and shined a little bit and watered and put a little sunlight on it and it started to grow. It started to make a difference. I'm doing that with you. I'm encouraging you. Somebody asked me recently where I started to learn about encouragement and why was it so important? Why did I see that it made such a difference in your life when you start to encourage yourself and you encourage people around you? And I thought about it and I remembered I read a book. It was probably in the 1980s, and it was the Marva Collins Way. Marva Collins is a Chicago school teacher, and she was working in the inner city in a ghetto area. She was working for the school system, and she absolutely was frustrated with the system to the point that she quit. She opened up her own school in the upper floor of her own house. She had 5 kids to begin with. 2 of them were her own children. The kids she took were kids that were basically thrown away by the system. These were kids who were considered to be retarded, special. They were illiterate. They were not learnable in any way, shape, or form, according to the school system anyway. Marva took them in, and she encouraged them. And the book taught me that what she really did was love them. She loved those kids when they weren't loving themselves and when they were in many ways a victim of their households. And the parents, some of them, believed in Marva enough that they would drop off their kids there. Marva taught those kids how to read, how to write. She taught them Shakespeare. She taught them to read poetry, to write poetry, to speak poetry. She had them tested after a year of being with her, and all of those kids tested 5 grades higher than all the other children around them. The Marva Collins Way became so popular that she actually opened a big school. She was able to take 200 kids within it, but there was a waiting list of 800 children. Now, this is pretty mind-boggling, but the essence of what she was doing is taking people who were considered to be a victim, and she was loving them. She was encouraging them. She was finding the good in them. She didn't criticize them if they did something wrong. She rewarded them if they did something right. The other person that I studied was Wynn Wagner, who wrote the book The Einstein Factor. And I absolutely love Wynn. I think he's an Einstein in his own right. He's a genius. And he encourages people and teaches people how to increase their IQ. Now, most people think that their IQ is somewhat set in stone. And again, that's victim mentality. But Wynn goes on and teaches imaginary techniques or imagery techniques. And through it, with about 20 minutes a day, they can increase their IQ by numerous points. It's very surprising. He said, and he taught me, the first law of psychology, and that is, you get more of whatever you focus on. So when he saw that people were doing something good, he applauded that. When Marva Collins saw that somebody was doing something good, she applauded that. That encouragement enlarged what they focused on. Whatever you focus on is going to expand. Now, this is very relevant because if you focus on what's wrong in your world, if you focus on being a victim, if you focus on being negative, you are going to expand on all of that. There's nothing woo-woo about that. It's actually the first law of psychology, according to Wynn himself. And this whole method of encouraging yourself, finding something good, loving yourself, finding something to love in yourself, is a way to begin to blossom and emerge out of this first stage of awakening. You begin to leave being a victim because you find that you have more power, more creativity, more control, and more to love than you ever imagined before. So I started using the Marva Collins Way and the Wynn Wagner Way in my own life when I started teaching classes in Houston, adult education classes on writing and book publishing. I'd use the same method. And I found that when these people who thought that they were victims and they thought that they were destined to be a certain way in their life because of their programming or their DNA actually were encouraged, they did miraculous things. People got published when they couldn't get published. I remember one woman who came to one of my classes, and she had not written a thing since she was in high school because she had written something for her father. Her father tore it up. He thought it was absolutely horrible, and she was traumatized from the event. She was feeling like a victim. 30 years later, she takes my class, and I show her some ways to write. I encourage her to be a writer. I encourage her to breathe through the experience that she had had of being a victim, and she ended up writing a book. And the book was actually outstanding. I don't know if it was ever published or not, but she did move forward by finding somebody who believed in her. I created a miracles coaching program based on all of these principles so that people can have access to somebody who can encourage them, who would believe in them. Now, my point for you is you have to believe in yourself. If you take a good, hard look at yourself, you can find the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want you to focus on the good. I want you to begin to blossom within this first stage of awakening by finding out what your positive traits are. In fact, it might be a wise thing to do is when you get a chance, go to your workbook and make a list of all of your strengths. These are the things that you know you're good at or other people said you're good at. These are the things that you love to do no matter what. These are the things you would do whether you were paid or not. And they could be anything from singing to playing to gardening to working out to learning a language or speaking a language. It could be any number of things. You work on cars. It could be anything. But whatever you feel is a positive trait, I want you to focus on that, and I want you to take an inventory of it. This is a way to acknowledge your good, acknowledge your skills, focus on the positive within you, because when you focus on it, remember, it's going to expand, and it's a way to begin to love yourself. What I'd like you to do now is to go to your workbook when you have a moment and make a list of all of the moments and times in your past where you felt like a victim. And again, you're just taking an inventory. This doesn't have to be a traumatic experience. Just have a little bit of fun with it. Just breathe. Breathing is very important. Taking two or three breaths as you do any exercise is going to make it easier for you. So just involve the body. Stretch a little bit. Go ahead and move your shoulders a little bit. Stretch up. Sit up straight in your chair. Take a deep breath and let it out slow. So you just relax into this exercise. So in the workbook, you're making this list of experiences or moments where you felt like a victim. And after you've made that list, you can go ahead and pick one of them and let me walk you through what we do with it. So you just scan the list and pick anything that jumps out. It doesn't matter at all. There's no right or wrong. One of them is there. You pick it. You choose it. You welcome it. What I'd like you to do is have a dialogue with it. And you can have the dialogue on paper in your workbook if you like, or you can have the dialogue in your mind. And what you're going to do is ask the experience itself what it has to teach you. You're going to assume there's a positive reason for what occurred. Again, remember to breathe. You're safe. You're relaxing. All is well in the world. You've controlled your situation and your circumstances. You're at peace. It's safe to look at this. So you've picked one item off of your list, something that happened in the past, and now you're looking at it with a little bit of detachment. And you're pretending that the experience can actually talk to you. I know it sounds odd, but if you just pretended, if you just imagined, if it did tell you the meaning for it, what might it say? And whatever you feel or hear or intuit, just welcome it. Don't judge it. Don't criticize it. Don't question it. Let it be. So again, ask that particular experience. What was the reason for it? What might have been the good cause behind it? Whatever comes to mind is okay. If you have difficulty hearing the answer, just pretend that there's an answer. If you pretended that the experience could talk, and you pretended that there was actually a positive reason for the event, what might that be? Note whatever comes up. Now, if for some reason nothing feels like it's coming up, just relax with that, because very often it will come to you later. You might be walking around, you might be watching TV, you might even get an answer in your dream. Trust that it will come. You've stated this intention that you welcome the good reason, the positive reason, for the event that you had listed on your inventory. So it will come. If it doesn't come right now, that's okay. If it does come right now, and when it does come, write it down. Acknowledge it. Go ahead and put it in your workbook. And then when you feel like it, you can do the same process for each and every one of the other items on your list. You don't have to do them all at once. You don't have to do them all right now. You can take your time and do these at your leisure. Have fun with them. Actually know that you're safe. Just relax. All of the events are over with. What you're looking for is the positive reason for them. So as the music goes out and you relax and this session ends, go ahead and play with the possibility that you've learned something profound. And if you didn't receive the message right now, just enjoy the relaxing, positive state of total love. And I'll see you in the next session of The Awakening Course. Thank you.
This is the end of session 2.